Let's let us bow our heads as we pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we honor you and we worship you as we go into your word this afternoon. Lord, I recognize that it's impossible for me to do this without you. And so, Father, I ask for fresh mercy, unction under the covering of my fathers, utterance, so that I will speak as an oracle of God. Let your words come out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring, Lord, life. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring correction. Let it bring instruction in righteousness. So that, Father, we will be doers of all that we hear, and an internal, eternal work will be accomplished in each of our hearts, including my own, making us more humble to you, falling down before you when we see you. And Lord God, making us, Lord, more enlightened with the revelation, insight that comes from the Holy Spirit, and causing, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit to further increase in our emotions in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth on the covering of our fathers, let yokes be broken. Let shackles that are holding us down, let it be burst asunder in the name of Jesus. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of your word, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, bringing forth fruit to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you help me so that, Lord, I'll be concise and precise, redeeming the time. Lord God, I need your help, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to speak only those words you would have me speak, and bring forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old according to your will, so your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege for me to be here as we come to share the word this afternoon. And I bring you a word from an experience of correction that I had with mommy. Thank God for mothers and fathers. Amen. I've entitled it, Breaking Out into the Glory. Breaking out into the glory. And like I said, it's so I'm not telling you something that I myself am entirely, I'm working on it. It's not something that I'm perfected. So we're all learning. Amen. So there's no need to feel condemned. Amen. It's a word of life and encouragement. We're in a season of gross darkness, but this is the exact time that God wants our light to shine. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60. You really need to be quick today. I'm sure you know the time. All right. Let's read together. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Next verse. And the Gentiles shall do what? Come to our light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, God is doing a work in us. There is gross darkness in the world, and that gross darkness is coming. Is really the darkness in the world is coming from the gross darkness upon men. God gave man the earth, and whatever man does affects the earth. So the gross darkness is upon man and is flowing from man into the earth. However, there is another generation of men, God kind of men, whom light is arising upon, and the light is going to flow from those men again into the same earth, and the light will chase out the darkness, and the darkness will not comprehend it. This is on an external scale. But on an internal scale, looking inside you and I, there is also light and darkness. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Coexisting at the same time in our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Let's read it together. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you what? Take heed. He's talking that every message we hear, Every word that you hear is a prophetic word. It is coming to you because God wants you to hear it. And he's saying you need to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What is the light? The word. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So it is shining in a dark place. Where is the dark place? Our soul. Our heart. So you see another light darkness issue going on inside. There is one going on outside. There is one going on inside. Now, what God has said outside depends on what happens inside. This is why we need to take heed. Until the day dawn and the day star arising. The day star can only arise if you keep taking heed to the light that is shining. So the light drives out all the darkness on the inside, and then it begins to shine on the outside. This is the will of God. Now, Pastor shared with us an analogy, a beautiful analogy about the butterfly, how it starts from an egg, likened to the fact, the message, awakening, revival, and transformation, where he said that when you get born again, we are like an egg, like the egg of the butterfly, you get born again, all right? The seed of the word of God is sown in your heart. Then you become, next stage is the stage of the larva, the caterpillar, where you begin to eat voraciously, and they walk around, the caterpillar is earthbound, it's carnal. Is eating things of the earth and things of the world. And then it goes into the pupa stage, which is relatively, compared to the larva stage, it's inactive. There's a lot going on inside and not much going on outside. Now, in that pupa stage, that's the stage we're at now as a church. We are at the pupa stage and we are supposed to break out into the glory. But you cannot break out into the glory if you are entangled with darkness. This is the key. The butterfly in the cocoon cannot break out if it is entangled in the substance of the cocoon. It must extricate itself from the cocoon and then break it. Otherwise, it's breaking itself because it's part of the cocoon. So you must understand that we must extricate ourselves. It is time to disentangle ourselves from darkness by drawing closer and staying close to light. We must cultivate a love for light so our path shines brighter and brighter. Now, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, 6 to 8 really, you see that God has made up his mind, brethren. He has made up his mind, and the essence of his message is to encourage us to make up our minds as well. Haggai chapter 2, all right, verse 6, thank you. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will what? Shake where? The heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Is there anything left out here? No. God is shaking everyone everywhere. Every prop that you have thought has worked up till now, God's going to shake it. He's going to shake it. It's the more sure word of prophecy. God wants to be all in all in our lives. And he is going to be. But some things we let go of, some things are difficult for us to let go. And God's going to shake them out of position. Yeah, thank you for the amen. Because if he doesn't shake it, he cannot give you the original. What you are standing on is a prop. It's going to fail in the day of trouble. So might as well get the correct thing. So you are standing on solid rock. So he's shaking. Next verse. And I will shake all nations, including you and I. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. See, first, shaking. Second, desire. Third, glory. So the shaking is necessary for us to see the glory. And it's supposed to cause our desire to turn back onto God. I thought you were born again and you love God. Yeah, you love God, but it's in degrees. God wants to take you to 100%. Amen. He's not satisfied with this 40, 50 thing that you've been doing and I've been doing. All right? And he's going to shake it. And what he's doing is that he's cleansing out the arrowhead of darkness in our hearts. What's the arrowhead of darkness? Sin. The substance of sin is the arrowhead. And he's replacing it with Zoe, which is also light in seed form. John 8 verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So that sin, that, and the Bible says he came to give us life. Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Pastor Laudy even shared that on the forum the other day. Okay, so that life is light. That substance is light in seed form. God is replacing and is replacing. No, remove and replace. Remove and replace. Remove and replace. Until your whole heart is saturated with life. That's what he's doing. So that you will now be restored, you know, into the nature and the character of Christ. Amen? And that light of godliness will now bring the glory. That's the verse 8. Go back to verse 8. You, yes, that light. No. The verse 7, previous one. And that is that. And I will now feel. When your desire has come, and you and God have the same desire, it's because the nature has changed on the inside. Brethren, there are deep recesses in you and I, in our hearts, that God wants to bring out into the open. And I'm letting you know that we need to cooperate with him to allow this to be done. He's going to do it one way or another. So take one way. Amen. Don't drive one way. I'm saying take one way. Let's just submit to God. Don't say, Pastor, please let you drive one way. No, I didn't say that. All right. Look at that's why he declared in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Quickly. Thank you. Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. Give it to me quickly. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There's some things in our life that will not move. It's not going to be by might, nor by power, not by how much you prayed. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. It's going to be by the grace of God working in and through you. It's not something you did. Next verse. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before who? Zerubbabel is he that arises out of Babylon. So he's coming out of darkness. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. When you get born again, only your spirit gets born again. Your soul and your body still have darkness in it. So he's saying that, this is talking to you. You are Zerubbabel. Amen. And he's saying that before you, every mountain is going to become a plain in Jesus' name. How shall it be? Thou shalt become, and he shall bring forth the headstone. What's the headstone? Sin. The substance of sin. He's going to bring down the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. He's talking about intercession with the life of God. To push out the sin nature so that you can now have the spirit, soul, and body. You can have the divine nature. No, operating in you, spirit, soul, and body. And then there is no mountain that can stand before you. It will surely become a plain. All right? This is God's purpose and this is will. You know, and it's so important. Look at this in the Message Bible. Quickly. All right. Give it to him from verse 6. This is God's message to Zerubbabel. How many Zerubbabels are here? Let me see. Right, okay. Let's read it. You can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit, says God of the angel armies. So it's God doing it. Next verse. So big mountain, who do you think you are? Tell that mountain, who do you think you are? God is talking. No, as he's talking, we're receiving, I'll be telling that mountain. Say, next to Zerubbabel, you are what? Nothing but a molehill. He'll proceed to do what? Set the cornerstone in place. Christ is the cornerstone. Accompanied by chairs. Yes, yes, do it, do it. There is a cloud of witnesses that are shouting, do it, go on, shouting us on. Asking us to go on. No, because sometimes you hold back. You hold back. And say, no, go on. Push out that nature. You push it out not just by prayer. You push it out by action. You push it out by accepting the correct thing in your heart. You push it out by believing. You push it out by praying. You push it out by obeying. Because if you pray and you fast and you don't obey, then what is the essence of it all? It has to be backed by obedience. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. So we have the full end of everything is obedience. Amen? To bring out that power. And when we do it, am I going to do this? By staying under covering or by staying connected to a light source. Look at same Zechariah chapter 4, verse 3. Very important. Just point this out very quickly. And two olive trees were by the candlestick. The candlestick represents the church. Okay? But there were two olive trees. Just symbolic of apostolic authority and prophetic authority. You know, one is the apostle. The other is the prophet. They are the ones upon whom the foundation of the church is built. Okay? And one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side. Jump to verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Next verse. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? It's talking about oversight. Next verse, verse 13. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Next verse. He said, these are the two anointed ones. He has multiple interpretation. He's talking about the two witnesses, but he's also talking about the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of them. It's a symbolic thing. They are the office of the apostle and the prophet. Those two offices are offices for God to empty out oil into the rest of the church. Amen? And so you have to stay connected to them because the light is coming through them to you. God is giving you directly, but they are like scripture says, it says they empty out the light. The oil there represents the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's coming, you know, through the word to you from them. Amen. And so it's important to understand that we need to receive that oil because it is that oil that enables us to build and finish our temples and so bring down the glory. What Satan is trying to do is to delay the completion of the temple. If the temple is not finished, the glory cannot inhabit it. So we need to finish the temple. So if the work keeps ceasing because of darkness, because we go off into darkness and then God has to, you know, and then we go off into darkness, or we hide and think that nobody is seeing what we're doing and all that, whereas you are delaying the work. You are slowing down the work. That's what God is saying. And if you look in the Bible, if you look at David as an example, David grew up under the authority of his father Jesse. Of all the sons of Jesse, it's surprising to me that David, the eighth one, was the one who the Bible, it doesn't tell us explicitly, but it's implied that his attitude to his father must have been correct. Because when he was with his father, he was growing. When he was in the field, you know, he was growing. He overcame the lion, he overcame the bear. We don't hear of any of his brothers ever doing that. So by the time Goliath came, David was the only one in all of Israel that was ready. Can you believe that? In an entire nation, only one person was ready. It tells you that they were all making a mistake that is so prone to all of us. It's so prone to all of us. And this is the key. So through the habit of singing these powerful psalms and praying, Psalm 119 is full of them. No, enlighten my candle. Thou shalt enlighten my darkness. You know, Father, no, give life to me. Father, no, strengthen me. I don't want to turn there because of time, because I'm mindful of the time. His desire became turned towards God. So when the lion came, the normal thing when you see a lion, brethren, what do you do? You pick race. Your leg will touch the back of your head. You are off. You know, even Usain Bolt will not be able to catch you. But in this situation, what happened? He turned round. That's not normal. Your heart has to have turned round. He turned round. So that heart was turned toward God. He went to lion and defeated a lion. The Bible says, I smote him. I held him by the beard. I smote him and I delivered the lamb out of his mouth. Then he went to the bear came again. The lion is a type of satanic power in the air. Satan and his court in the air. Then the bear is a type of the carnal mind and the flesh. It came against him. Same thing again. He defeated the bear with bare hands. And then he now, the situation with Goliath came. Goliath's talking about physical opposition. After you have overcome spiritual opposition, physical opposition is not a problem. That's why he was so confident. He said, let not your heart be afraid because of him. And I'm looking like, is this boy drunk or is he anointed? Let your heart not fail. This uncircumcised shall be like the lion and the bear. In fact, when he took off the ammon they were giving him because he had no problem, he took the stone and he ran toward. He was so confident. Why? The lion and the bear were the experience that he had that made him know that, no, this one is a done deal. Amen. But that came through the connection he had with his father, Jesse. The right attitude. It didn't just happen because he was a specific individual. Everybody else, his older brothers, had access to the same thing. But they couldn't. So by the time they came, what the Bible says, the message of the Bible says, you can't force these things. When they saw Goliath, they knew, this guy is a different thing entirely. So we're talking about, this is a spiritual battle. It's going to be won. We're going to see the result in the physical, but it's a spiritual war. And we must fight with spiritual weapons. Amen. Amen. And we also see our Lord Jesus Christ, our example, the light, under the covering of Mary, Simeon, and Anna. All three of them. Okay? And he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. That's what we are saying. You have to grow. We have to grow. I have to grow. We grow in light. Wisdom is light. We grow in stature. That's character. Then we grow in the favor, the grace, grace, grace unto it. The grace is at the end. When you have done, you accepted the wisdom, you have walked in the stature, then you can call grace and grace will flow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen? All right, so that's what God is. That's what God wants us to do. All right, why is this important for us to do? In addition to the process of cleansing out the sin nature, God wants us to do something. And it is this: we must deliberately choose as a habit to embrace truth in the inward parts, to embrace light in the inward parts, to stand upon the truth. Look at Psalm 15 verse 1 to 2. If this thing was so easy to do, I wonder how come only one out of eight sons ended up doing it. If it was so natural, but it's not. Let's read it together. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's talking about the presence of God, where there is fullness of light. That place where you are secure, where you are so close. And nothing can touch you in God's presence. But it takes something to get there. It takes something to dwell there. Next verse. He that does what? Walketh uprightly. I can't hear you. Uprightly. And worketh righteousness. And speaketh the truth in his heart. It's a three combination lock. You must speak the truth to yourself in your heart. Call a spade a spade. It's called sincerity or honesty of heart. Amen. Then that allows you to enjoy mercy. The mercy now brings grace. So it enables you to now exercise yourself so that you can begin to work righteousness and ultimately walk uprightly in divine love, in the character of Christ. That is, so it's a process. I want to see the process here. It starts with the truth. If the truth is not there, the other steps are suspended. So you'll be there, but you're not. So you can, it's easy to now slip out of the holy hill. You can come out of the holy hill because you're not doing what it takes to press in and keep yourself there. So brethren, God wants you to enter. Say, I'm going to enter the holy hill. And I will stay in the holy hill. I will abide in his tabernacle. I will not come out. It's not exclusive. God is not excluding anybody. But we are the ones that exclude ourselves. Bible says, what shall separate us? Nothing external can separate you. It's the internal things that separate us. So we must work on the internal things. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay? All right? So, and that's what God says. So God is going to shake the foundation of a successful Christian life. Is integrity of heart. It's sincerity and honesty of heart and humility of heart. That's where it comes from, you know. And if you look at Psalm 11 verse 3, Bible says that if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? God is making sure that our foundations are all integrity now. It's integrity, because that is the foundation upon which you build a superstructure of perfection. Perfection is a superstructure. You cannot stand on just any kind of foundation. You have to make sure that foundation is integrity of heart. And it is as you keep the integrity that you build on top. Once you remove the integrity, you're not building again. You have to go back and put the integrity there, and then you continue building. Amen? So that's what I want to share with you. The Bible says, better is a little with righteousness. It's better to have a little with integrity than to have great revenue without right. That revenue is not going to bring you any profit in the eyes of God. Now, it can bring you in the eyes of God, but it's not in the eyes of God. In fact, going to the second reason, it can bring you wrath from God. If we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, let's read it quickly. Insincerity. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all brethren, against all ungodliness. And so he's talking to Christians who are not like God, and talking to people who are not born again, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So this thing is common to all men. That's why it's shaking. All men have it. The fact that you are born again doesn't mean you don't have it. You have to keep exercising your heart in light. You have to keep embracing truth. You have to keep embracing light. Because of the sin nature, the default setting of man is to hide from light. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. You can just put it up quickly. God came to the garden, and Bible says Adam and Eve hid themselves. Nobody told them to. It was instinctive. The nature just responded like that. Satan hates light. Anytime you're withdrawing from light, you're withdrawing from authority, check it. Only you can know. You can say, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Yes, sir. How are you, sir? Thank you, sir. But that response, you should ask yourself, why? Why? Don't let that thing pass. Because it's a sign to you that you just instinctively did something. Something is wrong. Look for it. There's darkness there. Exhume it. Remove it, exhume it, and then pull it out, because it's there. So we need to turn to God, and it is this issue of the fact that we've left Adam and Eve. Now we're going back towards what we said about wrath. Okay, next verse. Give it to me. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. 19, that's it. Because that which may be known of God is what? Manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Next verse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of all are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God, so that they are without excuse. Next verse. Because that when they knew God, this is the key, they did what? They glorified him not as God. They didn't accept it. They didn't accept it, and they didn't obey it. That's how you glorify God. He's glorified by bringing forth much fruit. When you act on what he said, when you accept what he said, and you act on it. But when you don't accept it, Bible says they didn't glorify him. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was what? That's how the darkness came in the first place. Darkness comes from rejecting light. So when light comes, either as correction, or it comes as the Bible verse that you read, or Bible verse that you heard in church, or something that someone said to you that was correct, or an instruction that you heard, and from your boss or your superior or your teacher or whatever, and you heard and it was correct, that is truth coming to you. The question is, how do you respond? How do we respond? Do we cover it up? I'm not sure that's what he meant. I know that's what he said, but I'm not sure that's what he meant. It doesn't make any sense what he said. You know, and we begin to wrest the word. You know, you're walking in darkness. That's what's happening. And that's why the Bible says this is the condemnation. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. That men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. That's what he's saying. But look at this. This is just the beginning. There's hope. Let's look at the next verse. For everyone that doeth evil does what? Hated the light. Everybody. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This is why it's inconvenient. When somebody tells you the truth, it makes you smaller than you think you are. It makes you feel bad. But it's actually something good. Because without that, you're not going to come out on the other side of having the light. Amen. So really, it's in our interest to go actively towards the light and to refuse to stay in the comfort zone, in quotes, of darkness. Somebody is with the devil and he's saying he's in a comfort zone. Eh? I mean, he doesn't know who he's with. He doesn't realize that this is the person he's with. Okay? All right? So God doesn't want to. God wants us to forsake our sin. He wants us to turn away from sin. Proverbs 28:13. Okay, no, give me verse 21. Verse 21 first. Next verse. So we can see the solution. Verse 21. Lord have mercy. Here we are. But he that doeth truth, what does it do? Cometh to light. It will expose. It will let you know, okay, I'm not as spiritual as I thought I am. I'm not as good as I thought I am. I'm not as high as I thought I am. But at least I'm going to grow. I'm growing. I'm getting better. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times. And what does what? Rises again. So you're going to rise, and then the time will come where you will not fall. Like it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, because those things will be in you and they will abound, you will never fall. It's clear. But there is a time when you have to deliberately eat humble pie. And that is this. That his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. That's the beginning. Coming to the light is the beginning of the escape. When you come to the light, God is setting you free from the darkness. Yes, okay, yeah, the devil will tell you, they're going to laugh at you, or they're going to know that this is where you are, or they're going to know that this is what you did, or they're going to know. So what? Call his bluff. So what? I'm going to get better. I'm not going to go back to those things. And I'm going to be able to dominate you. That's a good place to be. You answer back with the word of truth. You answer him back. Don't let him keep you down. You tell him that, yes, I desire truth in the inward parts. This is who I am. I with my heart, I want to serve God, and I want to love him, and I don't want you to stay between us. So out of the way. You and your nature, out of the way. You see, the devil doesn't have to come physically. Once his nature is there, he has something in you. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he doesn't have anything in me. So it means that if he has luggage or baggage in you, he can use remote control to signal to the baggage, and the baggage will be disturbing us, God forbid, in Jesus' name. So the issue is that he and his baggage are one and the same. Don't wait for him to come and looking for him with the horns. Once his nature is there, he's there. So flush him out. Amen. Show him the door. Amen. Tell him he's not welcome. Amen. This is the will of God for us. All right, so look at Proverbs 28:13. We need to forsake, because that is where mercy begins to flow. Amen. Next verse. Proverbs 28:13. I just gave you Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. All right, let's read it together. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Brethren, it looks like you are building. You are doing all the things. But when there is no grace, it's not by power. It's not by the sound of your groaning. It is by grace through faith. So when the grace is reduced because you have rejected the truth and mercy and grace, there's darkness, relatively more darkness. The Bible says you will not prosper. It means that you will not make progress. You will not take new ground. That's what happened to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, even if he didn't know that he was supposed to follow Christ, let's say he didn't know, why didn't he ask, what do you think I'm supposed to do, Jesus? He could easily have asked. He didn't ask. It didn't occur to him because he didn't want to hear what he didn't want to hear. And sometimes you can be like that. You know, he didn't want to hear it. So he just left it and he kept on doing it. And the signs were there. You know, the light was getting dimmer on the inside. And then he was imprisoned. He still didn't connect it, you know. And then, until he was. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But this is the key. Don't let the devil tell you it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. It's not a little thing. It's a big deal. For Ananias and Sapphira, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. What did they do? They sold land. They kept back some of the part. And they gave the money. They took back some. And they gave the rest. They gave most of it. And they asked them, is this all the money? And they said, yes. Your land that you sold by yourself. they said yes. But it was not all. That little dishonesty. And God gave them a chance and told them, is this all the money? And he gave them the chance individually. It meant that was their habit. When you see those kind of things, God doesn't just do that in one day. It means it's the person's style. God will not be our portion in Jesus' name. God is looking at habits. It's not just one instance. It's habits. It's your habits to keep back some of the truth. It's your habits to be economical with the truth. No, to say the part, say one part. It happens to all of us. I'm not saying you should put up your hand. I'm putting it up for you. it happens to all of us. Amen. But the key is God is saying that it is time to deal with that darkness. So that the light the Bible says, no, the light can, it shines in the darkness. And the darkness will not comprehend it. But if you're not, the darkness will keep having power to cover the light. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what God is saying, okay? And the more importantly, what I want to bring out is that, you know, if we don't deal with insincerity and lack of integrity and lack of transparency, it can rob us of the mercy and grace, and the temple will not be finished. That's what it means by will not prosper. The temple will not be finished. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Mommy sent something on the chat today. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. That you may be healed. Are there things you are hiding from oversight? Brethren, we need to talk to ourselves. Are there things you are hiding from your spouse? Are there things you are hiding from your parents? Pastor Kuni, you don't understand. I don't understand. You are quite correct. I don't understand. The Bible says, confess your... It went very quiet. But brethren, we need this kind of message. Amen. It's better to have some message and improve and grow. Amen. Because what you are hiding, you are not hiding from the devil. He is coming back to expose everything publicly. It is God that is telling you, look, share it. Look, share it. And that's what God is saying. No, let's go to that scripture. James chapter 5, verse 16. Thank you, mommy. Thank you for that word. Give it to me also in the Amplified. Maybe there are some things you did you didn't want your wife to know. Today is the day. He will have no power over you again. He have no power over you. But if you keep hiding it, he will keep niggling. He will never let go. Confess your faults, therefore, your faults. Your sleeps. Let's read together now. It's the only me that has these things. Confess your faults. Confess one to another, therefore, your faults. Right, let's read together. Your sleeps. Your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone. Where? In your mind. That's where the temple is being built.
I'll write my law in their hearts. I'll put my law in their mind. Okay? And heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. What's he saying? He's saying that if this man does not do this, his prayer will not be earnest, heartfelt, it will not be righteous, and it will not make tremendous power available. That's what he's saying. The heart and tone. The heart is the altar that sanctifies the gift. So the gift of prayer that we're bringing. All right, God will have mercy on us. So brethren, come out of darkness. Come out of that dominion of darkness. Act on God's word. Tell the truth. Let just come out with it and let it go. Okay, parents, you know, your husband and wife, you know, your children. It's not worth your destiny. It's not what the destiny that God has for us. Amen. All right. How do we then do this? We know this already. We're talking about those in authority over us. You have to recognize the two olive trees that are standing by the side of the candlestick. Recognize them. Okay. How do you recognize them? Deep intercession. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Okay. Deep intercession. They do that continually, laying down their lives. The fruit of the Spirit, humility, patience. Okay, these are the things. The fruit of good treasure, complete, precise instruction that makes you change on the inside, makes you more like God. That's how you recognize those kind of people. And then, of course, evidence of victory over death. The death is the last enemy. When you see people who have the power to delay death or have the power to overcome death on your behalf, that is a sign that these are people that have grown to the degree where mercy is triumphing over judgment in their lives. Amen. So it's important to recognize the candlesticks. That's very important. To obey their instruction, operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, particularly here using the life of God. David is an excellent example. David walked in life in the Old Testament. He walks in life in the Old Testament. It's important to understand life of God is a substance and to use it to pray frequently and fervently. That's extremely important. And of course, pray with travail. And that's where the Good Morning Jesus prayers come in, where we can learn to pray together, you know, and then we can take that back to our closet. Pray in unity, pray under covering, you know, and then the kingdom of God is established in our lives, and then the will is being done, you know, your daily bread will come, you know, healing will come, deliverance. We have so many testimonies, you know, and you can go check the website of what God is doing, you know, but everything begins with integrity of heart that we maintain, okay? And of course, daily Bible reading that builds us up so that we can manifest His grace. Bible says, you know, I commend you to the word of His grace, and is able to build you up. So you need to read it, you need to study it, but at the same time you need to allow it to read you. Allow the word. The Bible says not everything is naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. So that's very important. Amen. And then of course walk in divine love. The Bible says we do that, divine love and truth. We do that together. We walk in those two consistently. Love is important, and it's the key, and it's the main thing. But you must also walk in truth. Love and truth. Walk in love and truth. And of course, finally, let's be diligent in our secular work. Because when the glory comes, it's going to come on the work that you're doing. It's going to come on what God has asked you to do. So you do it diligently. Do it faithfully. You know, do it with all your heart. So strive to improve. And don't hold back. Don't take no for an answer. Keep pressing on. But if you are walking in love and you're walking in truth, you will be able to walk in excellence. And that's the will of God for our lives. God will have mercy on us and we'll break out of that cocoon into the glory in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God in our hearts. It's a message of consecration to go deeper. To renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Nobody can see. Bring it out. And confess. Confess it. Particularly that. Maybe there are things you've been fighting with trying to pray by yourself, it's not going. Why sit we here till we die? Go and tell somebody in authority over you. This is what I'm going through. Don't let me hold up your destiny. It's not worth it.
If the foundations be destroyed, the righteous will build it again with integrity. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence.
Sing it as a prayer.
Reveal the glory of the risen Lord.
Spirit of God.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the risen Lord.
The way,
let the way of your glory cover.
Let the light,
let the light of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us.
Let the weight
of your glory,
Lord,
let the weight of your glory fall.
Let the weight,
let the weight of your glory cover.
Let the light,
let the light
of your river
flow.
Let the weight of
your glory fall.
Let's now pray and ask God to help us. Raise up that hand to God for yourself and put the left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you have sent to me, showing me that you desire truth, transparency, sincerity, light in my heart without any darkness. Heavenly Father, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. Help me, Lord, to exercise myself in embracing truth when it comes to me, by correction, through preaching, through instruction, that I will embrace truth. And I will confess my faults to those in authority over me, so that with prayer in unity, I will be healed of false steps, of offenses, of infirmities, of familiars that are holding me captive and delaying the completion of the temple you are building in my heart. Heavenly Father, I come to you. Have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful, to practice and exercise my heart void of offense toward God and toward man, in all sincerity and purity, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jaka kombe kadamana mapapakato be rabakatando jefeke galababadi kana papapa rabakatando se jefekero runaba rekakomaya yemano patanto bankante kakaya jekalebebede koko debebede mapapako rode debeya rede debe bakagukaka tuantantankom meko kwa pakatando se yeworidaba Beko Barea, Rababa, Mabaka, Jebania, Ramba Baka, Kongea, Redo, Belea, Rabakato, Zeleleveya, Ringamadubo, Beko Bakam, Bontika, Namaita, Makanga, Rabakamban, Bakako, Bakta, Wambake Kaka, Bikan everybody, Wabakato Be, Ronea, Robea, Baro, Baya, Sakadaka, Sakadaka, Rabakatanto, Beleleve Kata, Sakaka, Jekamaba, Bika, Robakoto Be, Jekanababaya, Mongarikana, Jefrikanamad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for your words this evening, this afternoon. Thank you for causing, Lord, light and understanding to come, giving us, Lord God, Lord, the way to walk in truth, to desire, to embrace, and thereby walk in truth, so that we'll finish this temple that you're building in our hearts. We return to you all the glory and all the honor, and all the worship, to all the praise. We thank you for the covering of fathers, Lord God, that you've provided, that, Lord, will give us a boost, a thrust, Lord God, to be able to finish all that you have commanded of us. We are grateful, Lord. I want to thank you for your servant, and to fill him back afresh with your life, so that out of his belly will continue to flow rivers of living water to the praise of your glory and honor. Thank you for your kingdom that comes, your will is done in our lives as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for complying. Under the authority of the fathers, Lord, and the authority of Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house, we say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. The Lord makes his head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies us with long life. And he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord anoints us with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Joseph, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbors you desire and you embrace and you walk in truth in the inward parts. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Please, can I all sit down, please?